Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come in this season of Easter, remembering your resurrection, remembering the life that you gave to us. Be with us, Lord, this day and in the days to come, as we seek to serve you. We ask that your word today would illumine our lives, shine a light on the path we must tread as your people. Lead us and guide us through your word, Lord. Amen. Our first scripture comes from the book of Psalm 30. Hear the word of the Lord. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favor, O Lord, you established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And our second scripture from the book of John 21, 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathering there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, about 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the type of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus has risen, and the disciples have all now seen it. At this point, he finished his first appearance before Mary in the garden and the other women. Depending on the account, she fails to recognize him when she first sees him. Then, a little later, Jesus appears to the disciples in the locked room. You know, there's this almost Looney Tunes type moment where you can picture the disciples. There's Peter with boards across the door and the hinges are on the outside so the door opens out, you know. Just something that Peter probably would do. And so they're in the locked room and suddenly Jesus is there among them. But not to be outdone, there's the next time when Thomas, who was missing that first time, who doubted, who had to see the hole in his side and his hands, is there. And he sees and believes. Now, John tells that Jesus does other signs and other things. He spends more time, but John doesn't tell of those other moments. Now, we can guess and speculate that they're just like all the other Jesus moments. We can speculate that in John's view, they don't matter and move the story of Jesus any further. But John does tell of one more miracle and two key conversations between Jesus and his disciples. Now imagine if you're the disciples. You're sitting on the Sea of Tiberias looking out on that water. All that has happened, Jesus appearing to you in the locked room, Jesus appearing again to Thomas. There's the empty tomb and that story. There's the cross and that story. And you're a disciple. And you're sitting there on the sea. What do you do? What are you doing? All of this has happened in just a short period of time. Even if you're not one of the chosen 11, you aren't sure what to do with what's going on. And so you need to process things. You need to take a moment and wrap your head about what is going on. I don't know about you, but for me, that generally means me doing something with my hands. If you see me in a garden, I'm gardening, but I'm also working through things in my head. If you see me with any kind of construction or woodworking or something, if I'm working with my hands physically, I'm not just working, I'm thinking. I'm trying to process. I know a family member who their house, when they are processing, is immaculate. And when I say immaculate, I mean taking a toothbrush and scrubbing grout. Immaculate. It's how we process. And all of us do it. And I want you to think of what Peter, Simon Peter, the fisherman, does when he processes. He fishes. He's sitting at the sea. He sees the boat. He sees the net. And he thinks, I'm going back to what I know. I'm going to do this because I need to sit and be and do. I need to wrap my brain around all that Jesus has done and is doing. I need to wrap my brain about this Holy Spirit thing, you know, because that also happened. The fact is, the disciples were fishermen before they fished for people. And many of them in this moment hit reset and go back to what they know. They're clearing their heads, going to what can for them be an almost automatic response, where their bodies are doing something that they know, so their minds can be free to engage all that has happened. Now, as often happens when the disciples go fishing, and I have no idea why it is that they always have trouble catching fish. Have you noticed that? The disciples go into a boat, and yes, this is kind of the lead up to a joke. And they go out into the boat, go out into the water, and what happens? Nothing. That's what happens when the disciples go fishing. Maybe that's why they made the right career choice in following Jesus. But then, as often happens in miracles, Jesus comes. And don't let it slip your mind as we look at this miracle, because this miracle has happened before. There is a lot of mirroring going on, where one moment looks like an earlier moment, where Jesus does something and you'll think, didn't he already do that? And you're right, he did. In Luke 5, the disciples are in the boat and catch nothing. And what does Jesus say? Go out deeper, to deeper water, and cast your nets. And what happens? Lo and behold, they catch fish. Jesus is standing by the side of the water and says, hey, just throw your nets over on the right side. Okay. And they catch a huge haul of fish. Now, the disciple that Jesus loves knows this mirror, sees what it's pointing to. And he says, it's Jesus. And then there's that whole moment of Peter putting on his clothes only to get him wet. And Peter jumps in and goes to Jesus. Again, mirroring that moment when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter cannot contain himself. And what does Peter do? Call to me, Lord, call to me. And he takes those first few steps and falls in. He gets to Jesus, and Jesus is preparing fish and bread for breakfast. Two elements with the disciples, mirroring again that Last Supper in the upper room, where wine and bread and the disciples and Jesus met and shared. Now they sit by the seaside, sharing bread and fish, mirroring again that what was to that which is. Mirroring moments draw our attention. They cause us to both look back and look forward. We look at the interactions between Jesus and the disciples. The last time they ate a meal was when? All of them together in the upper room before his death. And what happened after? What happened after the upper room? The disciples are scattered, and Peter denies Christ. And what happens now? We have Peter and Jesus sitting down and talking. The last time Peter and Jesus talked in John's gospel, things did not go so well for either Jesus or Peter. Jesus is captured by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Peter's right there, watching. We don't know what his plan is. Perhaps because it's Peter, it's to make a mad dash up, grab Jesus, and make a break for it. Because it's Peter. And a harebrained plan is, well, his MO. Maybe he just wants to make sure that in the moment Jesus is safe. Well, whatever his plan or next move is, we know that his nerve fails. And not once, not twice, but three times, he denies Christ. And then the rooster crows, and then there's this horrible moment for Peter where Christ looks at him. And he goes away and weeps. That's the last time they were together, the two of them. We can speculate about where Peter is now, where he's been. Maybe he's wearing the badge of at least I followed. At least I tried. Maybe he's ashamed of what happened. Maybe he's isolated from the other disciples who scattered originally. We don't know. We don't know what absolute anguish must be going through him when Jesus asks him that question. Simon, do you love me more than these? I would even guess that Peter isn't just hurt. He's confused by this question. After all, Jesus asks not once, but three times. And as often happens when we see something like this, maybe we laugh like we did when we saw the kids answer. Maybe we, as Sarah and I did on our trip out west, when Barb asked the question, where are we going? Every 5 minutes. And Liam would try and be helpful and respond, and right after that, she would ask Mom, where are we going? Ignoring Liam. And Liam's frustration would build and build. And Sarah and I would laugh. Well, I sort of would laugh. You see, years ago, I had a similar moment as Peter did on the beach. I had just sat down with my mom to talk with her about being fully aware of my call in ministry and my willingness to accept that my next step was seminary. And she looked at me and said, Billy, one of the few people able to call me that, do you love God? Now, being 25 and made profession of faith, I was fairly certain in my answer. Well, yeah, Ma. You know, I am kicking around the idea of going to seminary. And then her response was, feed my lambs. And then she started about talking about her own hardships in ministry. Hardships she knew weren't just hers, but every minister's. She talked about all the things she had seen as a minister. And then came the question again. Bill, do you love God? And again, maybe with a little more annoyance in my voice, I said, yeah, I do, Mom. And then the conversation continued, where Mom sought to have me understand all that was coming in ministry, in life. She sought to have me walk in with full awareness of what it means to be a servant of God. And then she asked the question a third time. And I may or may not have snarkily replied, gee, Mom, you think this one up on your own or you steal that from somewhere? The fact is, Jesus wasn't just questioning Peter about his love. He isn't just restoring Peter's from the three denial position with three affirmations of his love for God. Jesus is working at passing along to both Peter as well as the other disciples of what it will mean to love God and the struggle that will be. The disciples, the followers of Christ, will be challenged in various ways for them, in various ways for us. As we look at Peter's three answers, we can affirm that this is not going to be the only time he's challenged to answer this question. Do you love me? All of us are faced with these questions throughout our lives as we seek to serve God. All of us are challenged when we grieve, when we lose a loved one, when our faith is rocked and shaken. All of us are faced with these questions. My prayer for all of us is that we will have the right answer. Go forth and feed his lambs. Amen. At this time, we will